ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And welcome to this series, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. We have been contemplating on the life of Bhagavan. We have been going back to the 40s and 50s and recounting some of those beautiful tales which are not so well known. We are reliving some of those beautiful moments which very few chosen devotees were blessed with. We have some accounts of those halcyon days, because a few have left those descriptions for us. And from whatever you can gather from what is left, you get a glimpse of how glorious it was to be with Bhagavan in his physical presence, to move with him, walk with him, sit in front of him, offer your service to him, do pad seva to him, sit around him on the sands of Chitravati, dine with him, move with him. That is how it was for the devotees of the earlier era. And when we read about those accounts, just like when we read about Satcharita or when we read about the Bhagavata, you always tend to place yourself there. You want to make yourself one of the gopis. You want to make yourself one among those devotees who had served Shirdi Sai Baba. As you listen to these stories too, you also want to picture yourself there, and you want to relive those moments. You want to recreate them in your own way. You want to experience that love. You want to experience that proximity and that sublimity. Many, many years ago, there were three sons in a family in Bengaluru. And one of them suddenly went missing from home. Even when the police complaint was lodged, the police could not do anything. And the parents feared the worst about this boy. They didn't know what to do, where to go. They had heard about Bhagwan, so they went to Swami. Bhagwan called them. Bhagavan filled them with assurance, and Swami said, "Your son is alive. He is quite all right. Don't worry." So the parents returned with their hearts lighter, but still waiting for their son to come back. And when he did not return, even after 6 months, the parents went to Swami again. They could not be patient any longer. Bhagwan had said that your son is alive, but they expected that he will come back. But that did not happen. When they went back to Swami after 6 months, Swami again called them and filled them with confidence and hope. And Swami said, "Your son is very all right. You don't worry. He will come." And the parents returned home. And they waited for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 12 months, even after a year, the son did not show up. Every day the parents would hope that today maybe he will come back. Maybe today is the day when Bhagwan's words will come true. But it did not happen. For 13 months, 14 months, the parents waited patiently for 18 months, and when it did not happen, even after that, they could no longer contain their agony and they went back to Swami again. And Bhagwan, again, very lovingly, called them inside. Swami now waved his hand and Swami took out a big piece of sugar candy. And Swami asked the mother to put this sugar candy on Swami's head. And the mother got frightened. No, Swami, I cannot do this. And she got scared and she dropped that sugar candy down. Bhagwan just laughed. Swami played with her and Swami told her, your son will come back in a month's time. In a month's time, you will find him in your garden at noon one day. Swami said, you will find him in your garden at noon one day in 1 month's time. And just as Swami had said, a month later, exactly a month later, they suddenly found their son in their garden. It was noon. The parents were so delighted to see their son back after such a long time. They were thrilled and they kept asking him, where were you? How were you? What was your condition? But the son would not tell them anything. He would not tell anything about the past. And the son also was behaving in a little strange manner. He loved silence. If lunch was served to him, he would mix all the items and just he would make balls and he would eat them. So seeing that the son was little different, a few days later, when the parents came to know that Bhagwan has come to Whitefield, to Bengaluru, they took their son and went to Bhagwan. But the watchman at the gate did not allow them in. They waited outside for a long time, but there was no way they could enter inside the ashram. And so they were returning, crestfallen, back to their place in Bengaluru. They had gone half the way. Suddenly a friend came in a bicycle and told them, here is Vibhuti that Swami asked me to give you. So the parents were thrilled, even though they didn't get this chance of talking to Swami or being with Swami. Somehow Bhagwan has sent his blessings. So they were very pleased at this kindness that Bhagwan was showering on them. And the next day, encouraged, they went again to the ashram. And today, somehow they were allowed inside. Bhagwan came to them. Bhagwan blessed them. And they felt Bhagwan is there for them no matter what. And the boy continued to live with them. It was such a beautiful get together for the parents. The parents are so happy that the boy was finally with them. But out of the blue, very mysteriously, the boy told them one day, I am leaving this place. I am going to my home. And he just started to leave the house and he was in a great hurry. The parents were so worried that again he will be lost. The parents had no clue what the boy was doing because he had become very different, very strange, where his ways of talking, walking or eating. And now suddenly he says, I'm leaving, I'm going to my home. The parents didn't know what to do. So they shut him up in a room in the house and the parents came to Bhagwan and told Swami, this is the new problem. Swami, he's saying he will leave the house and he'll go back to his home. We don't know where he wants to go and he does not say anything about his past, where he was. So we don't know what to do. Swami said, no problem, you bring him to me. And when they brought the boy to Bhagwan, Swami performed the Upanayanam, the thread ceremony in which a boy wears the secret thread for the first time and is initiated into the Gayatri Mantra. And Swami said, I will perform this Upanayanam for the boy and after that he will be fine. And when Bhagwan performed the Upanayanam ceremony and instituted the boy into the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra, the boy started the sadhana and the boy became all right. The boy became normal after Bhagwan started the process of Gayatri chanting into this boy and invested the boy with the secret thread. The boy now enthusiastically started participating in bhajans, and also he started playing the violin very well with great skill. In fact, during the period he was missing, he had picked up to play the violin. The boy never ever revealed to the parents where he was during those 18 months, but one thing that had definitely happened and which was now giving joy to so many was he had become a violin maestro. And if any time they pressurized the boy and asked him, tell where were you during those 18 months, he would just be quiet, or sometimes he would even cry but he would not say anything. This is how mysterious it was for this family, and how Bhagwan also played that beautiful game. We don't know how he is directing the destiny of so many souls. We don't know what is in store for us. We don't know how we have to be guided to our destination. We don't know why someone is there in our family. We don't know why at a particular point in time our life takes a new direction. All we know is that we have to just go to him and keep our trust, keep our faith, and everything eventually will get sorted out in the most beautiful way, in the most unexpected way, and in the most pleasant way. There was a girl in Bengaluru who was praying to Bhagwan with a japmala, with a rosary in her hands, and suddenly she heard someone whisper in her ear, you go to Whitefield to have darshan of Sai Baba. Go to Whitefield and have darshan of Sai Baba. So this girl went to her mother and told her about this voice that she heard. And the mother said, okay, you go to Whitefield. And so this girl went to Whitefield, but she was not allowed inside. And she thought, Swami, I came all the way to see you in response of your command, but you are refusing me darshan. So she decided to leave. And when she was about to go away, a little boy, a small boy of 6 years, came to her, caught hold of her hand and took her inside to the bhajan hall. And somehow, this time no one objected to her. No one came in her way. And she went inside. And this little boy asked this girl to sit down. And when the girl then started looking for this boy, after she sat down, she could not find this boy. And immediately Bhagwan entered the hall. Bhagwan sat on his chair. And from the chair Swami said, see, I am here. I am here to give you darshan. Swami had told her, whispered her in her ear, go to Whitefield to have darshan. And when she was not allowed inside, perhaps Bhagwan took that form of the little boy, caught hold of her hand and brought her and granted her darshan. That is how Bhagwan is constantly speaking to us, constantly whispering to us, constantly saying from our heart so many beautiful instructions, so many ways Bhagwan is guiding us. If only we listen then Bhagwan will hold our hand and will take us to Him. The devotees and the fortunate souls of that era could experience all these beautiful moments with Bhagwan physically. They were blessed to experience the divine love of the Lord when He was in the human form. But today, if we, as we listen to this, immerse ourselves in these stories, then these stories will be recreated for us in the most beautiful way by Bhagwan. This is what Swami has said. If you just think about that one moment that I have given you, think of that moment a million times, and I will ensure that this moment gets recreated for you. There was a photographer who was taking group photographs of Bhagwan. Swami was with his devotees, and Swami asked this person to hand over the camera to him, and Swami was about to open the camera, and the photographer said, "Swami, the film is yet to be developed." We are talking about the earlier analog cameras when you had the film, and the film had to be developed in the dark room, otherwise the film, if it gets exposed, then all the photographs will be lost. So the photographer said, "Swami, the film is yet to be developed. Please don't open the camera, otherwise we will lose all the pictures." And even as the photographer was telling this to Swami, Swami opened the camera and took out the film. And Swami exposed it to broad daylight. That is the last thing you should do if you want to develop the pictures. But Swami just exposed it. And then Swami gave the film roll back to the photographer. And the film roll was dripping wet. And now when the photographer saw his hands, what he received in his hand was a fully developed roll. Bhagwan's hand had become that developing room for the photographs to become positive from negative. The photographer received in his hand a fully developed roll with all the photographs he had taken. Everything was there intact. The development happened instant. There was another occasion when a photographer had been summoned to take photographs of Bhagwan, but this photographer somehow did not come at the right time. He gave some excuse. When God calls, there can be nothing more important for us, isn't it? But sometimes we get deluded. And these were the very early years. People did not know so much about Bhagwan. People were constantly experimenting with Bhagwan. They had no clue about whom they were with. So this photographer did not come in time. He came much later and he took the photographs. But when he developed the roll, he found to his surprise that all the photographs were blank. And that is when it hit him. He became very scared, and then he went to Bhagwan and he asked for forgiveness, and he told Swami that he should not have taken Bhagwan's command so lightly. Bhagwan just gave him a glimpse of how if we don't take Bhagwan's instructions and commands seriously, our life will become blank. That's what happened to this photographer. Another photography incident. Swami had gone to a devotee's house where they were performing puja to Lord Narasimha. And they took a group photograph. Bhagwan was with the members of the devotee's family. When the film was developed, to their beautiful surprise, they found that in the place of Bhagwan, it was the image of Narasimha in that group picture. How much more emphatic can Bhagwan be in letting us know how he is that same Vishnu Swarupa. He is that same Lord who took the 10 avatars. He is that same Supreme Consciousness who is all the time there and who is all the time pervading every speck of this creation. He is the master of creation. One day in Whitefield, there were 12 devotees who were sitting in a room and they were meditating. Bhagwan also came in. And Swami started sitting with them. We are talking about those very, very early years. And Bhagwan, as he was sitting with this group, Swami took a green leaf and with his nails, Swami trimmed it in the shape of a beautiful peacock. So Swami created a peacock out of that green leaf and then Swami gave that peacock to all the members to take a good look at it. And then when it went back to Bhagwan's hand, Swami took this green peacock and Swami blew on it. And when Bhagwan's breath fell on that green peacock, it instantly changed into a big, lovely opal. The opal stone, which is like a white-colored precious stone. And it is recognized for the wonderful play of colors that one sees in opal. In fact, it is an astrological substitute for diamond. It is worn for success in creative pursuits, in harmony, in good health. So Bhagwan converted this green peacock into opal. And Bhagwan again gave it to all the devotees to see it and every devotee was looking at that gemstone and admiring it. Then Bhagwan, after everyone had seen it, took it back and now Swami blew on it again. And when Bhagwan looked at that opal and filled it with his breath, it now transformed into a lovely big pear. It became a fruit. And Swami again gave that fruit and everyone looked at that fruit and they were admiring at this instant transformation that Bhagwan had done. And it went back to Bhagwan again. Swami now looked at that pear and he blew on it one more time and now that pear turned into a brilliant big diamond. Everyone was so thrilled to see that diamond. What was a green peacock had now become a diamond. And as everyone looked at it with wide eyes, Bhagwan blew on the diamond again and now it became a prayer bead, a japmala. And Bhagwan took that japmala and Swami waved his hand once again and the japmala transformed back into that original leaf. Imagine the thrill of the devotees who are blessed with such experiences with Bhagwan. And when I keep thinking about this little leela of Swami, it occurs to me how when we come to Swami, we are so green. Swami creates that beautiful person out of us, just like he created that beautiful peacock. And when Bhagwan's breath blows on us, what is Bhagwan's breath? Bhagwan's breath is we chanting his name. When we do that, Bhagwan converts us into a beautiful gem. We are a substitute for diamond, but we are not diamond yet. And Bhagwan takes us again into his hands. And Swami now converts us into a fruit. Only when you go through life's experiences do you become a ripe fruit. And Bhagwan converts us into that fruit. And then, after we reach that ripe stage, Bhagwan blows on us again. And then we become a diamond. This is the time when we have become ripe in our spiritual sadhana, we have learned to not be affected with the vicissitudes of our mind. We reach the stage of dayo mind, and once you are that diamond, then you are nothing but just a ceaseless divine consciousness. You are just a ceaseless series of His names, and you are just like a prayer bead. Your life is just a prayer, and once your life is completely sanctified, because there is no ego, there is nothing. Once you are in that stage, Bhagwan brought that Japmala back to the original leaf again. Bhagwan takes you back to your source. But for all this to happen, we have to be in the Lord's hand. Then all these beautiful transformations can happen. And I think Bhagwan, even as he was doing all these leelas with the devotees, this is what he was doing to every devotee, and he continues to do. And that is the reason why this Lord, who is an enigma for us, is the most beautiful person that we can ever, ever have in our lives.
అనంత గుణ మందిరా సుందరా,
అనంత గుణ మందిరా సుందరా,
అనంత గుణ మందిరా సుందరా,
అనంత గుణ మందిరా సుందరా,
నటన సుందరా భువన సుందరా,
నటన సుందరా భువన సుందరా,
నటన సుందరా భువన సుందరా,
నటన సుందరా భువన సుందరా,
సాయి సుందరా సుందరా,
సాయి సుందరా సుందరా,
జగంబర్ ధర హరే హరి హరా,
జగంబర్ ధర హరే హరి హరా,
వ్యాగ్రంబర్ ధర హరే హరిహరా,
వ్యాగ్రంబర్ ధర హరే హరిహరా,
సాయి సుందరా సుందరా,
సాయి సుందరా సుందరా,
సాయి సుందరా సుందరా,
సాయి సుందరా
సుందరా.
The Lord is Sundara, the Lord is beautiful because of the beautiful transformations that He engineers in so many all the time. There was a Christian lady doctor, Srimati Nagamani Purnaya, who has written this beautiful book, The Divine Leelas of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. I had an opportunity to meet her in those very early years. And this doctor said, she was once treating two children, both of whom were suffering from typhoid. One of them got well very soon, but the condition of the other was deteriorating. And the treatment given by her had no effect on him. And this doctor was worried, because it came to a point where she started seriously thinking if this boy would survive, because whatever she did was not working on that boy. And one night, Bhagwan appeared in her dream. She had only heard of Swami. And Swami tells her to buy a big photograph of him and hang it in her room. And Swami said, you will find vibhuti on my photograph. You should take that vibhuti, mix with the medicines and give it to that boy who has typhoid. Now this doctor, being a Christian, she did not take Bhagwan's dream seriously. The next day, she went to a friend's house. There, she saw a photograph of Bhagwan. And when she saw Swami's photograph there, she was reminded of her dream. And she asked the friend, do you have a photograph of Swami? And the friend gave her a beautiful framed picture of Bhagwan. So the doctor now took it home. She kept it carefully in a cupboard. And when she opened the cupboard the next morning, she found that Swami's photograph was fully covered with vibhuti, just as Bhagwan had indicated in the dream. So she took a little of this vibhuti mixed with the usual medicine and gave it to that sick child. Needless to say, the child's fever completely subsided just that day itself, and the child was cured, completely cured. And this is what brought about the transformation in this doctor. She developed great faith in Bhagwan and experienced His grace in so many ways. Once there was a grown-up daughter in fact, when it was time for her daughter to get married, she did not have sufficient money to give as dowry. In those days, it was customary for the parents of the bride to give a lot of money. When the daughter goes to her in-law's house, and because she did not have the money, she used to be very worried about her daughter. And again, Bhagwan came in her dream, and Swami told her, tomorrow there will be a visitor at your home, and he will ask for your daughter, and he will not ask for any money. Don't worry. And that is how Bhagwan found the right person for her daughter. And Bhagwan came in her dream once again, and Swami told her, you make a mangalyam. Mangalyam is that golden pendant which is tied around a married woman's neck, which is considered very sacred by the Hindus generally. Swami told her, you make a mangalyam. And Swami told the particular design of the mangalyam. And Swami said, you should get it tied around the bride's neck on the wedding day. But because she was a Christian, somehow she felt she will not be able to follow this instruction, because it was not customary among Christians to wear the mangalyam. And so the marriage happened with the same person whom Bhagwan had indicated. It happened in a church. And during the process of the marriage, when they were opening the wedding presents, they suddenly found a jewel case, and that jewel case contained the mangalyam, and it was of the exact design that Bhagwan had indicated to her in the dream. No one had any clue who had given that present to the bride. When the doctor saw the mangalyam, she told her daughter about her dream, and she said, Bhagwan has some way given her what he wanted her to wear. And so the girl took the permission of her new husband and her mother-in-law and started wearing it. We don't know what is good for us. We don't know how listening to Swami will ensure that we are covered with His grace at every point of time. In fact, Vibhuti used to materialize from Bhagwan's photo in that doctor's house on so many occasions, and she would always take this Vibhuti, mix with her medicine and give it to the patients, and she would pray for the healing of everyone who came to her. That transformation that Bhagwan brought about, not only in her, not only in her daughter, but also in the in-laws and every patient that comes to this doctor, is what the glory of Bhagwan is, which is unending. These transformations, these changing of the green leaf into beautiful fruits, into finally diamonds, is the process that goes on all the time. In a family in Bangalore, the father had passed away. There were two sons and a daughter. The elder son had a job in Chennai. The younger son had secured a scholarship to study in Russia for 3 years. So he went to Russia, and when he was there, suddenly he developed a rare kind of disease in which his legs got swollen and he became very painful. He could not even walk. The doctors in Russia treated him, but they could not cure him. So they sent the boy back to Bangalore. And the boy now was with his mother. They went to so many specialists in India, whoever had experience in treating that disease. One of them was in Mumbai, one doctor, so they went there. But nothing helped. In fact, while the mother was planning to take the boy to various other doctors, the daughter, who used to perform puja to Bhagwan every Thursday, she suggested that it might be good to take my brother to Swami. And the mother agreed, and they came to Puttaparthi. The boy's condition was so bad that he had to be carried to the bus, and the sister accompanied the brother. They came to Puttaparthi. They reached Puttaparthi at 11 in the night. She did not know where to get down, how to take her brother inside. We are talking about those early days of 50s. And even as she was thinking like this, she found four people who came to her, lifted her brother and asked her to follow them. They took this brother and sister to one of the lodging rooms and gave them food and water. The next morning at 7, again this group of four volunteers came there. They lifted the boy and they carried the boy to the room where Bhagwan used to give interviews to devotees. They took the boy to the mandir. There were 16 other persons chosen by Bhagwan for interview that day. Swami talked to all those others first, and finally Swami came to this boy and Swami said, "Hey, remove all the bandages. Remove all the bandages." And then Bhagwan gave handful of vibhuti and Swami instructed this boy to mix some of the vibhuti with water and rub it over his legs and apply some of this vibhuti water on his forehead and drink this vibhuti water. Swami said, "You don't need any other medicine. Throw away all the other medicines you have." So the boy got this vibhuti from Bhagwan. And again those volunteers came and helped the brother and sister to board the bus to Bangalore so that they can return home. In Bengaluru, the boy had to be carried from the bus stand to his house. But just as Bhagwan had instructed them, they discarded all the medicines. Every morning after he had had his bath, he would rub that vibhuti that Bhagwan had given on his swollen legs, would apply them on his forehead, and he would drink that vibhuti water. After 8 days of this treatment, the swelling in his legs subsided, and he slowly got rid of that disease. He was able to walk and be on his own. In just a few days, he was completely normal, and he went back to his job. If you listen to Bhagwan, if you go to him, everything else will be taken care of. As I mentioned before, we continue to experience this, but it was the good fortune of those devotees who could come to Swami in those early years to experience this as palpably as one can experience. And there were so many people who were touched in this manner by Bhagwan. Srimati Nagamani Purnaya used to go to Whitefield every now and then for Bhagwan's darshan. One day she met the princess of a state, and this princess was afflicted with cancer in her abdomen. She had undergone an operation. She had also undergone radiation therapy for some time, and the doctors had told her that if she found any lump in her stomach or felt pain in the course of the next 6 months, she should immediately get herself examined again. And unfortunately, her stomach became swollen again. And she started getting acute pain. So she went back to the doctors, and the doctors advised another operation to be performed on her. The operation was done and the swollen glands were removed. But this pain-free life lasted for only 3 months. After 3 months, again she started having pain in her back. And now when they did X-ray, they saw that her kidneys had been affected by cancer. The urinary tract has been damaged. Urine used to ooze out in drops, and the doctors now connected a rubber tube to the tract with a bottle at the other end. And this princess had become very pale. Her life had become such a terrible ordeal. The doctor said, "You should undergo another operation." But they were not very sure if it would be successful. This princess, she was devoted to God, and that night she prayed to God and she said, "Wherever you are, please, you have to come to my rescue." And she suddenly remembered reading about Bhagwan in a popular magazine. She had never had darshan of Bhagwan until then. That night she prayed to Swami intensely till 3 a.m. and she did not know when she had fallen asleep. The nurses came at 6 in the morning to prepare her for the operation. And they were surprised. The nurses were surprised to find that the bottle, which was used as the urine receptacle, was empty. They asked her how she was feeling, because there was no discharge. And she said, no, she was feeling okay, no pain. So the nurses went to the doctor and said that the patient seemed to have got well. So the doctors came and did X-ray again. And now the doctors were in for a complete surprise. They said, "You don't have any symptom of cancer. There is no need for us to do the operation. We don't know how, but you are fit. You are fine. If you want, you can go home." And the Rani did not go home. The Rani came straight to Puttaparthi to have Bhagwan's darshan. It was the time of Navaratri, Dasara celebrations. She sat with the other woman. She was feeling very weak, though she was now cured, but her body was convalescing. Bhagwan came to her. It was the first time she was seeing Swami. When her eyes fell on Bhagwan, she just forgot about herself. And she found all the strength, all that weakness now disappeared. She felt so strong. She could sit in the mandir for 4 continuous hours. She was completely all right. After the program, she did namaskaram to Swami. And Bhagwan spoke to her a few kind words. And Swami said, "You stay with the other woman." This was the starting point for this princess with Bhagwan. After this, Puttaparthi became her home. After that, whenever she had any problem, she knew all she had to do was to just call out to Bhagwan. Once again, when she had stomach pain, Bhagwan asked her, "What is the problem?" And she told, "Swami, I'm having this pain." Swami immediately waved his hand, materialized the same pills that had been prescribed for her in the hospital. Swami told her, "You take these pills and you'll be fine." And that's what happened. Once she came to Swami and made Puttaparthi her home and learned to take refuge at his feet, for anything of her life, life became a breeze. From the earlier era, there is another incident with a very powerful lesson. There was a boy suffering from acute stomach pain, and since no medicine could cure him, the doctors recommended that the only way the boy can be saved is he should be operated upon. But the father did not want the operation, so the father brought the boy to Bhagwan. Swami said, "Yes, the boy needs an operation, but I will do the operation." And the father was very happy. He had faith in Bhagwan. Swami called the boy into the room, and Swami bolted the door from inside. And the doctor, this father, had known that Swami would perform these operations and it would just happen instantly. It would happen just in a couple of minutes. There are so many people whom Bhagwan used to cure in those days, and this instant operation that he would do, he would materialize the scissors, he would materialize the operating equipments and these instruments, and Swami would just do it in a jiffy. Swami took the boy inside, and the room was bolted, and Swami did not come for full 15 minutes. And now this made the father worry a lot, because he had always seen that Swami does not take much time, but why is it that Swami is taking so much time? And he started fearing the worst. He thought, did something go wrong? And after 15 minutes, when Bhagwan emerged from the room, the father was so anxious. And Swami told the father, hey, go and see your son. And when he saw that his son was there on the bed, and the son was so cheerful, the father started jumping in joy. And Swami came to the father and said, see, you are mad. You don't have full faith. You have all these doubts. Go and see your son, who is completely all right. And when the father then fell at Bhagwan's feet for entertaining that doubt, what happened, why Swami is not coming here, did anything go wrong, Swami said, always have faith in me, then you will not have any problem. This is the assurance that Bhagwan gave to this father. Have faith in me, you will not have any problem. Always have faith in me. Because if we have faith, faith is where our spiritual journey starts, and faith is the way to draw the grace of the divine, so that our journey becomes stronger. We become emboldened to walk on this path, and we experience the reward of faith, which is love. And this love will make us one day become one with the cosmic consciousness. This is how it was for the devotees of the earlier era, and it's continuing even now. If only we develop that faith, if only we develop that kind of attachment to God, if only we go to Him and say, Anyatha Sharanam Nasti Tameva Sharanam Mama, we have no one else but you, we will see how the only person who exists for Bhagwan is nobody but us. Bhagwan is there all the time to fill our lives and take it to the next level of ananda. So dear listeners, we'll continue this Satyam Shivam Sundaram in the coming episodes. It's a joy to share with you these little stories from the earlier times. I hope it is of use to you. Please feel free to get back to us. And if you know of any beautiful accounts of the early years, feel free to share with us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number, 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet, I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sairam.